For WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
This is Akshat Gupta, producer on Hereabouts. The holiday season is upon us. As the canopy of lights was lit in Bloomington and the festive spirit spread throughout our wonderful community, I realized I once again won't be doing much for the holidays, or at least I won't be celebrating in the typical fashion. As an Indian American and as a non-Christian, I find that many of my holidays and festivals fall on different days on the calendar. So today on Hereabouts, we will be exploring Asian American holiday traditions. I had the pleasure of interviewing two guests from different Asian perspectives, Mongolian and Indian. We spoke about their holiday traditions in Asia and America, on rituals and festivals both religious and secular, and about the ties that bind us together as family and as a community, regardless of where we hail from. I hope you enjoy this special holiday episode of Hereabouts. This is Akshat, and I'm joined today by our two guests, Suparna Bose and Achma SQ. Hello, welcome to Hereabouts.
Thank you for having us today.
Thanks, Akshat.
We're here to discuss Asian American holiday traditions. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about yourselves, Suparna?
I'm a second year doctoral student in the Department of Education, Literacy, Culture, and Language Education. And I've been living in Bloomington since 2009, December.
And you were born in India and you grew up in India first, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in India and first came to the US in 1999.
Achma, what about yourself?
I'm originally from Mongolia and I came to Bloomington in 2001 in October. So it's been, 17 years that I've been here?
And you grew up in Mongolia as well?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I work at IU now. I work in the Diversity, Equity, Multicultural Affairs in the Overseas Studies and Scholarship Program. So that's what I do.
Great. And I was pleasantly surprised to learn that the two of you actually knew each other when I had inquired about if you could join us for the show.
That was funny. I worked for Ochma for 1.5 years and I resigned like a month back.
But that was not by design. This was pure serendipity. I want to reassure our listeners that this was, you know, meant to be.
It was meant to be, destiny, whatever.
Because Suparna told me, oh, yes, I know her. Great. You know, I've always found it interesting to compare my winter holiday experiences and holiday experiences in general as an Indian American to those of the average American. For example, we don't usually do anything for Thanksgiving, and we definitely do something for New Year's Eve, but we rarely do anything for, say, Christmas or something. Then again, I'm not Christian, so I'm very curious to know what your experiences have been like since you've lived in America. What do you usually celebrate and how?
You know, we also, Mongolians, for us, the New Year, the New Year's Eve, that's a bigger celebration. So we don't have also Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas in Mongolia and also here. But we do have something like Winter Old Man.
Yeah.
It's kind of like equivalent to the idea of Santa Claus, right? So this Winter Old Man and his snow girls come and give sweets and, you know, candies and things like that, like present bags to small children.
Wow.
So that's still the type of celebration that people still do nowadays. Unfortunately, Bloomington does not have big Mongolian community, but like Chicago, for example, has maybe about 7,000-8,000 Mongolians. So they have big New Year party celebrations where they have like evenings, concerts, dances, and then the Winter Old Man comes and gives presents to the kids and things like that. So those are the type of celebrations that we have. And then the New Year's Eve is really where you spend it at home.
Sure.
With your family and loved ones. And so, you know, I was surprised here that a good number of people just go to bed before the year change.
Right.
And that's not the case where I'm from. It's a huge deal, right? So everybody's up. They might be inside and outside and they're just awake and waiting for that. So that is a big deal.
New Year's parties used to be maybe a bigger deal than they are these days, but certainly in my community, a New Year's party is a huge deal. And so instead of Christmas, so you said for the Winter Old Man ritual and the sort of legend, is that connected with a particular Mongolian holiday? And what's that called? Could you tell us more about that?
Well, we just call it New Year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Western New Year, because we have our traditional Lunar New Year too, and that comes up later. But the Western New Year is, that's when the Winter Old Man comes. And it's a little bit different. I mean, everybody knows that kids don't believe in that magic. Mm-hmm. They know that some person is dressed as Winter Old Man is going to come and hand them out some goodie bags, right? So,
sure.
But it was just super exciting. And if you went to, you know, school, daycares, you also got the goodie bags. So basically, whatever you are, you just got a lot of sweets.
Yeah, and it's all part of the festive spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. wonderful. Suparna, do you want to tell us a bit about your experiences?
These memories take me back to my childhood in Kolkata, India. And in India, Christmas is celebrated. It's like a public holiday. And also, it's a kind of a secular festival as well. So my memories of Christmas and New Year's is associated with food. I remember these two bakeries in Kolkata. So one is Flurry's and the other one in Nahum's.
Aha, Flurry's. I have been to Flurry's. I know very much what you're talking about in Kolkata.
Yeah, and so Flurry's was, I think, established sometime in the 1920s. And Nahum's, even earlier, 1902, it was this Jewish gentleman called David Israel Nahum, mm-hmm. who set up this bakery, and it's still going on. They have these marvelous plum cakes and cream puffs and chicken puffs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I love chicken puffs. I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Christmas in India, I remember from my own experience. It's certainly festive and it's a commercialized holiday.
Lots of Santas. Yeah.
Lots of Indian Santas.
Indian Santas, Christmas trees.
Christmas lights. Yeah, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. And New Year's also does tend to be a bit of a big deal in India, wouldn't you say?
It is. So there are these Christmas Eve parties and New Year's Eve parties, if you are like upwardly mobile, let's mm-hmm. say, or more westernized. And so, but people also go out to restaurants. There are these banquets in clubs, if, you know, someone you know can take you. But even for like people, for example, in Calcutta, there is this area called Park Street and Esplanade, and these are all lit up so beautifully. And I actually remember going for midnight mass at St. Paul's Cathedral with my friends and sometimes with my family members as well.
Okay, that's very interesting, even though you're not Christian, is that
yes.
right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. A lot of people actually attend that midnight mass.
Christmas mass.
And in St. Paul's, and so it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah, so that actually brings up an interesting point of how these holidays may or may not be religious in nature. Christmas, as you just noted, has globally become a holiday which isn't necessarily rooted in the Christian tradition itself. So there are many celebrations of Christmas which are purely secular in nature and just emphasize other things. Are there other experiences that you've had of whether there are other holidays part of other religious traditions around the same time, or is it mostly secular? Like, I know there's Kali Puja in Kolkata in Bengal, but that's earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, and that kind of coincides with Diwali, mm-hmm. which is the festival of lights, which falls somewhere around late October, middle of November. And that also follows the lunar calendar. However, I would also say that winter in India is kind of like spring here. So for a lot of cultures, it's a harvesting season. So for me, again, you know, the winter in India is associated with all these new vegetables. It's like fresh cauliflower and fresh tomatoes.
So it's almost like autumn.
It's autumn. It's like a harvesting season.
So it's like winter in Florida. Is it really winter?
It is spring, I would say. It's very like spring. And there are harvesting festivals in middle of January. And so it's kind of, you know, festivity and a renewal, let's say, you know, the old year ending and the new year beginning. It's a kind of feeling good. About things of kinds of Thanksgiving for people around you, because this is when it's the holiday season and people get together, family members get together. This year I'm having my nephew come over and visit us. So
wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that brings up an interesting point, that the fact that the calendar may not line up exactly the way mm-hmm. it does in the US in terms of the seasons, but also in terms of the holidays. Mm-hmm. So many of the more traditional holidays may not actually fall in the winter. So as you suggested, Diwali and then the various festivals in Kolkata especially are a little bit earlier, late October, November. I'm not sure when Kali Puja is.
Same time around Diwali.
Right. And so is there something similar as well in Mongolia?
So in Mongolia, we have two kinds of New Year. Right. So one is the Western New Year, which is December 31st, January 1st. And that's more like a celebration. Workplaces have many holiday parties. If you go to school, your school will have holiday party. Your class will have holiday party. And there's, you know, friends holiday party. There's just holiday celebration, gathering, party until the December 31st. And that's when you spend the year exchange at home. And then the Lunar New Year, which follows the lunar calendar, falls sometime in like late January, February, or maybe late February or the first week of March, depends. And Mongolian New Year sometimes overlap with other New Years, such as Tibetan New Year, Chinese New Year, and sometimes they're like a month apart. I don't exactly quite know that, but that is more like a family gathering. Mm-hmm. So, and that's when the families after the beginning of the Lunar New Year go to the monasteries and ask for good prayers for the entire year or something like that. And that's when typically the elderly people in the family, they go to monastery and monks and ask them to do a prayer for the year or something like that. And some years might not necessarily be good year depending on which year you were born and all these different combinations. So you might need bit more prayer than the others.
Sure.
So they do that during that Lunar New Year. So that new Lunar New Year is actually, we call it Tagansar, white month, because white is a symbol of pure and goodness, right? That white month, that's what it's called. And it's a three-day holiday in Mongolia.
And when does that fall in the Western calendar?
Sometime like end of January, February, March. It's different each year.
I see.
And I think this coming year, it's February 5th of 2019. So a lot of public schools, they have their winter break during the Lunar New Year so that the children can help their parents. You know, they can have longer time off and help out with the family, because there's a lot of, not just the celebration itself, but there's a lot of work involved with that celebration. People come visit their elderly relatives during the Lunar New Year. So if you live with your elderly parents, you might have like 100 people coming over to your house in 2-3 day period, right? So your first visitor just might knock your door anytime, and then the last one might not leave your house until like 11:30 p.m. or something like that. So and then you have to, you know, they're coming to greet your parents, so you feed them and then, you know, give them gifts when they leave. So there's just a lot of logistics and work involved. But during that time, you literally get to see all your extended families and such. So my father is visiting from Mongolia now, mm-hmm. and he will be here next year during the New Year. So we will have people coming over. They are not going to necessarily be my relatives, but we will have a lot of people over.
This is Akshat Gupta, and you're listening to a special holiday episode of Hereabouts. We're discussing Asian American holiday traditions with two guests from two different perspectives. Achma SQ speaks about Mongolian traditions, and Suparna Bose speaks about Indian traditions. And it's sort of similar for your tradition, I'm guessing, Suparna, where the holidays don't necessarily line up with holidays that are observed here in the US, right? Hindu holidays.
Yes.
Diwali, for example.
Yes. And that also gets a little bit complicated because in India, different states and regions would celebrate the New Year's in different months. So the Bengali New Year comes in spring. It's usually in the middle of April. And then a lot of other cultures might celebrate it in sometime in October or November during Diwali. And so again, it's like Ochma was saying, it's Poila Boishak, or the first day of Boishak, as we call it in Bengali. That is a day when you usually visit the elder people in the family. Traditionally, we would probably visit the elderly Bengali families here. We don't have too many people, but for us, it's Professor Basu and Laura Basu, who we usually visit after Vijaya, Durga Puja, and also during Poila Boishak.
And if you want to tell our listeners about Poila Boishak.
Okay, Poila Boishak is the first day of Boishak, which heralds in the Bengali New Year. And you're traditionally supposed to feed people, cook nice food, because the first day of the year would signal how the rest of the year is going to go for you.
Of course.
So good things.
Yeah, we have that pressure too.
Yeah. And the traditions that you mentioned about the monasteries and the shrines, so that's part of the Mongolian Buddhist tradition, is that correct? Or how would you describe which religious tradition?
So Mongolia, a lot of people follow Tibetan Buddhism. That is part of that. The way you said, the how you treat people during the New Year, how well you can feed them, how clean your house has to be beforehand.
How many people can you fit in your house?
That defines your entire year of good fortune or whatever you call it.
And what about the Tibetan Mongolian Buddhist community here in Bloomington? Do they observe these traditions at all, or these holidays?
You know, some years Tibetan New Year and Mongolian New Year are on the same day, same time. And but there have been some years they are a different month, but same day, like a month apart. And Mongolians living around Midwest, especially, they come to, there are two monasteries here in Bloomington. One is the Tibetan Mongolian Buddhist Culture Center, and then there's another monastery on the north side, Gadang Khatushin. So they both have like New Year's prayer early in the morning, like at 5 o'clock. And then also they have bigger prayers, I think, during the weekend, and so that a lot of people from different cities and states can come, and they do their the yearly annual prayers. So Indiana is kind of like a Buddhism hub in Midwest, right?
Sure.
In a tiny little town in Bloomington, there are, you know, a few monasteries. So a lot of people drive down to have a good prayer for the year.
And Suparna, do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about Durga Puja and Kali Puja, and if you observe that here in the Midwest community itself?
Well, as Ochma was saying, that Bloomington being a smaller town, we don't have too many options here. So the nearest Hindu temple is in Indy. And there are usually pujas there, worship services on, I think, even on New Year's Day, and or during Durga Puja, which is also called Navratri by some cultures. There is also this Bengali Association of Indiana, which holds Durga Pujas as part of the tri-state Durga Puja.
Yeah. And have you been to those? And what are those like? Are they packed?
Oh, wow. Those are really packed. It's tri-state. So Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. And Puja actually rotates between these three states. And there are people coming from all over to attend.
So I'm noticing a lot of similarities between, you know, our experiences here, even though we are from different, well, at least two of you are from different parts of Asia and from Mongolia and Central Asia versus from India and Bengal in South Asia. One of the things I found very interesting that you guys have in common is that it's a lot to do with family time and paying respects to your elders and bringing in the new year on the right note with prosperity and goodwill in mind. So sort of universal in a lot of holiday traditions all over the world, I would say. And sort of also something else I found interesting is that the calendar might be very different in your cultures than it is in the Western or American calendar, where some of the festivals that you mentioned, Suparna, are in October or November. Mm-hmm. And some of the festivals you mentioned are in late January, February, March, or, you know, into the spring as well. So I found that very interesting. What about any differences between how you celebrated when you lived in Asia, in Mongolia or India, versus how you celebrate now when you're living in America?
Being in Bloomington, you just have to make it work with around your surroundings. So I have few family friends here, and, you know, we get together and our kids get together, you know, so the scale is much smaller.
Sure. And probably a little bit more intimate as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, more and intimate. And then, you know, back home, some of the holidays are really for families. But here, you don't necessarily have your, you know, relatives, but your community becomes your family, right?
Of course.
The scale is different. The way you do is a little bit different, but the tradition. But with the beauty of technologies and FaceTime and all this stuff, we still get to be part of the celebrations happening in the other side of the world, right? So when the New Year's changing, you know, if I have relatives in 3-4 parts of the world, we're celebrating it with them like every 3 hours, there's New Year happening.
Yeah. What about you, Suparna?
Yeah, as Ochma was saying, that we are usually far away from our families, and here our friends become family. And so, for example, in Bloomington, people of Indian and or South Asian origin, we have started doing these celebrations, Festival of Lights, during fall, and Festival of Colors coming up in spring. And our host, Akshat, actually was a participant in this year's.
There's another Akshat?
Oh, there is this gentleman called Akshat Gupta, who was a percussion artist and performed with his tablas.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the program. And that's another great example of how the community becomes part of the celebration. It was such an honor and such a pleasure to be there. Thank you again for having me for that.
Oh, that was wonderful. And this is our fourth year of doing those programs. Mm-hmm. And Ochma, you know how important it is for our children to get in touch with these festivals, get to know other people, get to know their heritage. And we have a lot of children and their families performing here, as well as students.
Indiana University has been offering Mongolian language courses since 1960s. So until very recently, it was the only institution in North America that teaches Mongolian language and culture. So with that, you know, we have long history. So the Mongolian Studies Program, there's the Mongolian Society on campus. So they also celebrate the Lunar New Year. Their celebration is basically the Mongolian community and the society. We make Mongolian food, and we typically have it in the University Club of the IMU and have performances, traditional Mongolian music, dance, instruments.
Yeah, I remember your daughter Hulan was performing, right?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I play a Mongolian instrument called Yatak, which is a lap harp with 13 strings, and then when I play, my daughter can sing along.
Wow.
So, yeah, not a professional by any means, but in a little Bloomington, Indiana.
Sure, and just the fact that you're getting to share the music with your family and then with the extended family, which is the community, must be such a joy.
Yeah, it is. I get to play my instrument at least a couple times a year.
So, do you think it would be fair to say that, you know, in your cultures and your backgrounds, that there are two separate components to the holiday traditions that may exist different parts of the calendar. There's the religious or, say, the community-oriented component of the holidays, and then there's the more secular or the more globalized version that is just following Christmas or New Year's or something like that. And, you know, some of them are falling on different parts of the calendar. And it seems like, you know, perhaps we have holidays that are all over the calendar. I know every month in the Hindu calendar, there's some festival or the other going on. So really, I think the takeaway is we need more festivals.
You know, living in a different country from where you were born and grew up also bring your tradition here, and you try to fit that in along with all the other holidays going on here. So, you know, your kids might get confused, but there's more added.
Yeah, there's always
celebrations,
more, right? There's,
yeah.
There's the holidays of our country of origin, and there's the holidays of the adopted country. And soon they start to blend, and they start to, you know, yeah, resemble each other a little more, perhaps.
We usually, whenever we visit India, we are usually, people in India usually joke around the fact that, oh, you have weekend festivals, you have weekend pujas. Yeah, because, you know, the 5 days are work days. So pretty much instead of having like a 5-day Durga Puja, you have like 2 days to condense that 5 days. And
right.
So it's kind of, but it's fun. It has its constraints, but at least technology is there. We can talk to our friends and see the pictures. And, you know, nowadays because of WhatsApp and Facebook, oh my God. Yeah. And the food they ate. Oh, food. Oh, I forgot. New clothes.
Of course.
Ochman, do you have any other pressure, like wearing new clothes during festivals?
You mean like social pressure?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think necessarily new clothes, but the Lunar New Year, you wear your Mongolian dail, mm-hmm, which is a traditional outfit. But other than that, I don't think we have necessarily a new pressure of a new clothes. But the pressure to have a clean house is high. That's why when I was growing up, the Lunar New Year as a child was my least favorite party because it involves, you know, I liked the Western New Year because you just didn't have to do much and you got all kinds of stuff. But the Lunar New Year, you had to help out. You had to clean and, you know, cook. And then so many people came to your house. You had to serve. And it was just a lot of work. But looking at it now, it's really a great celebration to bring the family together because everybody's busy. And really, sometimes you don't see your distant cousin really any other time but that time. Right.
No, that's interesting you mentioned that, because many times when I speak with my friends who were born and brought up right here in America, when they talk about Christmas time or Thanksgiving time, the things that they mentioned that they enjoyed the most was just seeing family. Distant family, perhaps, even close family, and getting to spend quality time with them, regardless of what it is that they do. And I think it's like that the world over, mm-hmm, you know, regardless of the particulars, the specifics of the ritual or the traditions. That's the best thing about the holidays, is it brings people together and
sure,
connects them.
Absolutely.
So we're going to wrap up, but just before we leave, I'd love to hear about if you have any specific plans this holiday season or anything in particular you're looking forward to or anything you'd like to share with us.
My nephew's coming to visit us, and so we'll probably just hang out with him, maybe take him out somewhere. We haven't decided, but just again, family time together and maybe visit friends.
We're going to take a road trip to Texas. I've never been there. So we're going to drive there and try to be back before the end of the year. We've done it a couple times so far here. There's also a lot of sayings, right? Superstitious. So if you don't spend the New Year's Eve when the New Year changes at home, you're going to be on the road the entire year. So we try to be back. So we might come back like at 11:50 p.m. on the 31st. So that's our plan.
Wonderful. Well, Suparna and Ochma, thank you again for joining us. And I'm sure our listeners are really going to enjoy hearing all your thoughts and observations on this. And thank you for sharing your experiences with them and with us here at Hereabouts.
Thank you for having us.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
You've been listening to Hereabouts.
Hereabouts is produced with the IU Asian Culture Center and broadcast from WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth.
Tune in to Hereabouts every other week from 5:30 to 6 on Wednesdays right here on WFHB.